Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud, winner of Chevron's highest employee honor, serves up ingredients to career success, March 28, 2024, by Mike Aldax. Caitlin Maxwell heard about the Chevron's Chairman's Award shortly after joining the company in an entry-level role. The award is the multinational company's highest employee honor. She quickly brushed it off as not meant for her. "I thought, that's for other people that are much smarter than me," Maxwell said. Fast forward 14 years. Maxwell was recently among a pioneering team at Chevron's Mid-Continent Business Unit, MCBU, to win that very award. Her team earned the Chairman's Award for a project that significantly reduced emissions right here in the Permian Basin. It developed and deployed technology called RAO, or Real-Time Autonomous Optimizer, which continuously monitors facilities and wells and automatically takes actions to prevent upset conditions. A pilot study of the RAO technology shows it has the potential to reduce flaring volumes and well shutdowns. The RAO project made such an impact in regional emissions reductions that Maxwell and her colleagues earned Chevron's highest employee honor. It should be noted that Maxwell worked on the project shortly after becoming a mother and also in the wake of the COVID pandemic. To Maxwell, being willingly and ready to take on new challenges has been key to her success. It's a message she's sharing with fellow women looking to make their mark, including in professions that are typically male-dominated. Set your goals and don't let anyone derail them, she says simply, saying yes to opportunities. Maxwell's willingness to take on the impactful project is not dissimilar from the can-do attitude she brought to Chevron when she first joined the company. Early in her career, Maxwell completed a dual master's degree program in civil engineering and business administration at the University of Pittsburgh. When she joined Chevron, she leveraged those degrees and her experience in construction to build tools and consulting engagements for Chevron's major capital project portfolio. The job enabled her to travel internationally and to work with experienced colleagues. Later, she was among only a few engineers willing to take on another overseas project, in this case in Japan, for a year. Prior to starting a family, Maxwell said she aimed to be flexible and willing to go out of her way to learn the ropes. "My goal was to get as much experience as possible and take advantage of opportunities," she said. In Yokohama, Japan, Maxwell took on a role supporting the engineering of Kitimat LNG project. She was then sent to the west coast of Australia to help build the Gorgon project, one of the world's largest natural gas projects, before heading off to the Gulf of Mexico to help construct the Bigfoot offshore deepwater platform. Maxwell's career at Chevron took her to many interesting places around the world, including Nigeria, China, and Korea. "That I was willing to live overseas, work different schedules, enabled me to get exposure to a wider range of opportunities that I might not have had accessed by staying in one location," she said. Now, as a married mother of two boys, ages 4 and 1, Maxwell is getting the best of both worlds in both her personal and professional lives. After working 6 years as a facilities engineer at Chevron's Midland office, Maxwell recently moved her young family to Carlsbad, where she achieved another career goal in becoming the New Mexico West Operations Superintendent, overseeing one of Chevron's two field operating teams in the state. Maxwell loves experiencing the natural beauty of New Mexico, whether out in the oil field or in the community with her family. "There's the Living Desert Zoo, Pecos River, River Beach Park. My kids love all of it," she said, "and the community has been very welcoming." While it is clear Maxwell is the central source of her success, she is quick to credit the Chevron Way, a company-wide vision and value system that, among other things, prioritizes workplace safety, diversity, and inclusion for helping her reach her goals. She also expresses gratitude to the many mentors she's benefited from at the company. "The people are my most favorite part about Chevron," she said. "No matter which group you join, where you work, it's consistent across the company. People just have really good intent when you meet them, and they want to help you right away. I think that's unique to Chevron. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Bush Family Home hosts Third Thursday reading program, March 29, 2024, by staff report. Author and professor Tara Wilson will read her book, Randy Rattlesnake, at the Bush Family Home State Historic Site on Thursday, April 18th from 5 to 6:15 p.m. It's part of a monthly Third Thursday reading program hosted by the historic site. The event will be held in the Visitor Center for Children of All Ages. Wilson is an associate professor of literacy at the University of Texas Permian Basin. She was a literacy specialist for 4 years, taught early childhood courses, and aims to teach children about career opportunities in the oil industry through her new book. Children in attendance will receive a free copy of the featured book and can participate in a follow-up activity related to the book's theme. The Bush Family Home joined the Texas Historical Commission in 2023 and is one of the 38 sites in the state of Texas. Its normal operating hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The last tour begins at 4:15 p.m. For more information, call 432-685-1112. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Hike with a homeless pet at Sibley Nature Center, March 29, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. Sibley Nature Center is teaming up with Grand Companions, which offers pet adoption and related services, for Hike with a Homeless Pet, Thursday, April 4th from 9 to 10 a.m. in Midland. The Nature Center encouraged community members on Facebook to come out for puppies and blooms. It's about to get cute out on the trails. They also noted that the Easter or any day a puppy makes a great surprise instead of a chicken or a rabbit. Hike with a Homeless Pet ultimately aims to help animals find new homes, in this case dogs, by appealing for help from residents and tourists to take shelter dogs for hikes. Everyone gets exercise, and the canine companions receive much-needed interactions with their four-legged and human friends. Participants might even get a chance to witness some sumis. If special connections are made, people can start the adoption process. Check out a video about the hikes and learn more about adoptions. The Sibley Nature Center is located at 1307 East Wadley Avenue in Midland, Texas. For more information, contact Grand Companions at 432-426-3724 or Sibley Nature Center at 432-684-6827. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Carlsbad invites residents to join Earth Day Art Contest, April 1st, 2024, by staff report. In honor of Earth Day, the City of Carlsbad and Carlsbad Museum are hosting an Earth Day Art Contest. The contest is free and open to ages 5 and up. All are encouraged to demonstrate their art skills as well as their appreciation for our planet. Winners will be chosen from 3 age categories, K through 5th grade, 6th to 12th grade, and adults. 6th to 12th grade and adults. To enter the contest, return printed forms with your artwork to the Public Information Office at Carlsbad City Hall, 101 North Halagüeno Street, Room 214. You can also fill out the online entry form and then email your artwork to publicinformation@cityofcarlsbadnm.com by Wednesday, April 17th. For any questions, contact Valeria Quezada at 575-234-7955, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m., or email publicinformation@cityofcarlsbadnm.com. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org livestream. Midland Rockhounds hiring mascots, April 1st, 2024, by staff report. The Midland Rockhounds are seeking to hire people to serve as team mascot. People of all ages who are enthusiastic and energetic are encouraged to apply. Naturally, you'll also need to be interactive with fans and kids and willing to work late nights. The purpose of the role is to bring joy and excitement to baseball fans of all ages. No experience required. Those interested can email Riley Darnell at rdarnell@ at MidlandRockhounds.com. The Rockhounds home opener will be Saturday, April 9th against the Amarillo Sod Poodles at 6:30 p.m. Listen to this story at 2 p.m. daily via the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
Leaving employer benefits past 65 is puzzling, by Tony King. Hello, Tony. My husband, Jay, retired 6 years ago when he turned 65. He enrolled in Medicare Part A only and decided to delay his Part B since I put him on my employer's group health plan. Recently, I read an article about failure to enroll in Medicare Part B when turning 65 and the additional cost for each year that one delays enrollment. I plan to keep my husband on my policy until my retirement in 3 years when I turn 65. I spoke with a representative at the Social Security office and asked if Jay would receive a penalty for delaying enrollment in Part B. The rep said he would not, but that Jay would need to provide evidence that he has been enrolled in my employer health insurance. I am overwhelmed because I do not know what to do for Jay's Medicare when I retire at 65. Dear Tony responds, I have good news for you because the Social Security Administrative gave you excellent advice about your husband's Medicare. I have written about the famous form to verify employer benefits for those enrolling in Medicare past 65 called CMSL 564, Request for Employment Information. Form CMSL 564 is filled out and signed by your Human Resources Department, and Jay will fill out CMS 40B form, Application for Enrollment in Medicare Part B. Under number 12, remarks of CMS 40B state, each month Jay wants his Medicare Part B to start. Across the top of each form, write special enrollment period to claim the Medicare enrollment period he wants to enroll in to keep from receiving a Part B penalty. Avoiding a Medicare Part B penalty when past 65, as you discovered, is stressful. A reader recently visited the Tony Says office for a Medicare consultation because his wife is retiring. The husband, 72, has been enrolled in Medicare Parts A and B since he turned 65 in 2018. The wife, who qualified for Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment, 6-month enrollment period, because her Medicare Parts A and B began in February 2024, can pick whichever Medicare supplement plan she desires without having to answer one health question. Both the couple is experienced the pain and agony of trying to enroll the husband in a Medicare supplement, as he has health issues. He is currently on both spousal company benefits and Medicare Parts A and B. However, because he has been enrolled in Medicare since 2018, he can only apply for a guaranteed issue Plan F, not Plan G, Medicare supplement policy, since he has heart and cancer issues that keeps him from qualifying medically. Chapter 3 of Tony's Medicare Survival Guide, Advanced Edition, discusses the enrollment rules for Medicare supplements. Readers, you must have a current company benefits termination letter to prove to the Medicare Supplement Insurance Company that you are a guaranteed issue, period, in order to avoid having to answer health questions. If you do not have a current termination letter and you have health issues, then you will not qualify medically due to those issues and will have to choose either original Medicare without a Medicare supplement to pick up Medicare's out-of-pocket or a Medicare Advantage Plan, HMO or PPO. I have written about this special 6-month window many times and have stressed the importance of enrolling in Part B at the correct time and the correct way. Remember, if you leave employer benefits and decide to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, to verify that your medical providers are in the network for the Medicare Advantage plan you are interested in. For a Medicare checkup, contact Tony Says Medicare Team at 832-519-8664 or email info@TonySays, and Tony is spelled T-O-N-I.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. 3M to pay public water systems to filter, test for forever chemicals. Court-approved settlement over PFAS polluting public drinking water. Chemical manufacturer 3M will begin payments starting in the third quarter to many U.S. public drinking water systems as part of a multi-billion dollar settlement over contamination with potentially harmful compounds used in firefighting foam and several consumer products, the company said. St. Paul, Minnesota-based 3M announced Monday that last year's lawsuit settlement received final approval from the U.S. District Court in Charleston, South Carolina. The agreement called for payouts through 2036. Depending on what additional contamination is found, the amount paid out will range from $10.5 billion to $12.5 billion. Quote, this is yet another important step forward for 3M as we continue to deliver on our priorities. The final approval of this settlement and continued progress toward exiting all PFAS manufacturing by the end of 2025 will further our efforts to reduce risk and uncertainty as we move forward. End quote. 3M's chairman and CEO Mike Roman said in a news release. The deal compensates water providers for pollution with per- and polyfluorinated substances, known collectively as PFAS, a broad class of chemicals used in non-stick, water- and grease-resistant products such as clothing and cookware. PFAS have been described as, quote, forever chemicals, end quote, because they don't degrade naturally in the environment. They've been linked to a variety of health problems, including liver and immune system damage and some cancers. The compounds have been detected in varying levels in drinking water nationwide. The Environmental Protection Agency in March 2023 proposed strict limits on two common types, PFOA and PFOS, and said it wanted to regulate four others. Water providers would be responsible for monitoring their systems for the chemicals. The 3M settlement, first announced in June, came in a lawsuit by Stuart, Florida, one of about 300 communities that had filed similar suits against companies that produced firefighting foam or the PFAS it contained. The payment will help cover the costs of filtering PFAS from systems. Some of the settlement money will help additional water systems test for contamination from PFAS, said Scott Summey, one of the lead attorneys for those suing 3M and other manufacturers. They have until June 2026 to apply for compensation if contamination is found. Quote, that's great news for American citizens who drink from that water, end quote, Summey said. Quote, it'll help rid our public drinking water systems of PFAS, and that's the most important thing about the settlement, end quote. Also, last June, DuPont de Nemours, Inc., and spinoffs, Chemours Company and Corteva, Inc., reached a $1.18 billion deal to resolve PFAS complaints by about 300 drinking water providers. Several states, airports, firefighting training facilities, and private well owners also have sued. Officials warn of increase in bacterial illnesses. Cases can lead to meningitis, possibly death. New York. U.S. health officials are warning of an increase in rare bacterial illnesses that can lead to meningitis and possible death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued an alert to U.S. doctors on Thursday about an increase in cases of one type of invasive meningococcal disease, most of it due to a specific strain of bacteria. Last year, 422 cases of it were reported in the U.S., the most in a year since 2014. Already, 143 cases have been reported this year, meaning infections appear to be on track to surpass 2023, the CDC said. Most of the cases last year did not involve meningitis, though at least 17 died. The cases were disproportionately more common in adults ages 30 to 60, in Black people, and in people who have HIV, the CDC said. The bacteria can cause a dangerous brain and spinal cord inflammation called meningitis, with symptoms that may include fever, headache, stiff neck, nausea, and vomiting. The bacteria also can cause a bloodstream infection with symptoms like chills, fatigue, cold hands and feet, rapid breathing, diarrhea, or in later stages, a dark purple rash. The infection can be treated with antibiotics, but quick treatment is essential. An estimated 10% to 15% of infected people die, and survivors sometimes suffer deafness or amputations. There are also more vaccines against meningococcal disease. Officials recommend that all children should get a meningococcal conjugate vaccine, which protects against the rising strain, at around the time they enter a middle school. Since vaccine protection fades, the CDC also recommends a booster dose at age 16. Shots also are recommended for people at higher risk, like those in a place where an outbreak is occurring, or those with HIV infection or certain other health conditions.
This is the Dear Abby column. Disturbing secret revealed as Farmstead changes hands. Dear Abby, I need a second opinion. My grandfather sold me an old farmstead that had been in the family for 200 years. Last week, he showed me a wooded area behind the barn with a human skull. He told me that when his father died more than 50 years ago, he was curious about how long it would take a body to decompose. So he left his body in the woods to keep track of its progress. He has 50 years worth of pictures and notes. He told the rest of the family that great-grandpa had been cremated, and apparently no one questioned him about the ashes. At this point, the skull is all that's left. I checked with a lawyer who tells me that in my state, no laws were broken. That said, I don't want my great-grandfather's skull sitting in the woods behind my barn. My husband says I should quietly bury it, burn the pictures and the notes, and forget about it. That just doesn't feel right to me. It feels like I'm helping my grandfather get away with something, and it feels icky. Should I tell the rest of the family, or continue allowing them to believe that great-granddad was cremated? I'm resenting my grandfather for putting me in the middle of this, and any advice you have would be greatly appreciated. Signed, Bought More Than I Bargained For. Dear Bargained, your letter is a first. Why do I get the impression that your grandfather must have hated his father to have treated his remains so disrespectfully? The farmstead and everything that goes with it is yours now to keep or dispose of. What you need to do is decide whether to donate your great-grandfather's skull to a medical or dental school, or a coven, place it in a columbarium, or bury it on your property. As to whether to tell the rest of the family, what positive thing would be accomplished by sharing this unpleasantness with them? You are a caring individual. Let your conscience be your guide. Dear Abby, I'm a full-figured 25-year-old woman who lives at home. My family has 3 dogs. Every night, I go into my mother and father's bedroom to pick up the youngest one to hold for a few minutes and say goodnight. The dog likes to sleep closer to the middle of the bed, so I need to bend over to reach the dog. When I bend over, my mother gives me a look, because she says my shirt starts to reveal my body and I should be mindful of my dad. I wear long t-shirts, long pants, and sometimes bras when I'm around the house because I'm trying to be mindful of my dad and younger brother. I want to be free to not think I need to cover up when I'm doing something small, like picking up the dog. Dad is a good man. He has never disrespected me in any way as I matured into a woman. So my mother's extra carefulness bothers me. What should I do? Signed, Just Want My Dog. Dear Just Want, because at 25 you are still living under your mother's roof, you should respect her wishes. Once you get a place of your own, you can bounce around as much as you wish. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.